They say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and lucky for us, we have the beholder with us today. Hello, my name is Drew. Welcome to Fascinating People. If this is your first time joining us, just a quick refresher on how this show works. We grab someone from the West Nipissing community or someone who has impacted our community, and we have them tell us about themselves for the next 30 minutes. Because everybody is fascinating. You just have to get them to tell you why. Gail Primo is the leader of the Sturgeon Falls Beautification Group. We're going to be talking about that group, her philosophy when it comes to community, what made her leave, what made her come back, and everything else in between. So hopefully you enjoy today's episode. If you or someone you know would make a great guest for the next time around, I want you to reach out to me, drew@moosefm.com, and hopefully you and I will talk again soon. But until then, let's find out more about Gail Primo on this edition of Fascinating People.
My name is Gail Primo, and I'm a resident of Sturgeon Falls, and I'm also the lead for the Sturgeon Falls Beautification Group.
I like how you open up with, I'm a citizen. Like, it's not that you're the leader of an organization, it's that you live here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider that like an important part of your personality, that you're from Sturgeon Falls?
Of course it is, and I'm very proud to be part of this community. That was one of the things that when I left and I worked in the city, I felt like I was very much a number, I guess. When people walk, they don't actually look at you. They look down. But here, it's like so many people I don't know, but yet they're always saying hi. So it's like being part of a community, and it's something that's very important to me.
Were you born in the community?
I was. I was born here, yep. And I went to high school here. And then I went to Ottawa U, and I became a teacher, and I left. I taught south.
Taught south? You mean south from Ottawa?
No, like Toronto area.
Oh, like real down there.
Yeah.
So what level did you teach?
Well, I taught all levels from grade 1 to grade 8 and a variety of different subjects also. It was a French immersion school, so some subjects were in English and other subjects were in French, but a variety of subjects.
So what made you want to be a teacher?
Good question.
Was it just a path that you found yourself on?
When I was a little girl, we had my mom had a sewing room, and I would go in there in the basement, and I would pretend I had a blackboard, and I pretend I had students, and I would give lessons. And I didn't know what I wanted to be for the longest time. I went for a general BA, and then I just kind of fell into it. I always thought I wanted to be a vet because I love animals, but my sciences weren't great. I wanted to be a psychologist for the longest time, and I did a kind of a summer internship. I was a parole officer, and I did a bit of a social worker, and I got too involved. I just couldn't leave the job type of thing, you know? So I decided, well, I guess the next best thing is we'll try teaching, and that's where I went.
So it's kind of like a nurturing. You say you wanted to be a vet, you worked in social services. It kind of feels like whatever you wanted to do, you wanted to better somebody's life. Does that kind of fit?
Probably, yes. You know, helping would be, like I said, the longest time I was actually, like, I graduated in psychology, so I thought I really had this vision of being a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But, you know, at one point you kind of say after 4 years of school, it's like, oh, you know, another 4 years. All everybody else is, you know, getting a life, buying cars, getting married, whatever, you know. And it's like, oh, another 4 years. So the opportunity came that I decided to go into teaching. And I guess it is part of giving back and helping others. And mothers do that too, right? It's just, I think it's something that we all, well, most of us have.
Are you a mother as well?
I am, yeah. I have two sons. Yeah, I have one in Sudbury. He's a police officer.
Oh, wow.
And my other one here works at the Chateau. So they're both also in a giving kind of employment.
So what you're telling me is it's genetic. It passes down through the bloodline.
Well, I don't know about that. My mother was very giving. My parents, my father lives not too, like, right in front of my house. So, and part of the reason why I came back was when my mom died, that was my way of I felt the need. I always knew I was going to come back. And I always told my mom, you know, I'm going to come back and I want to come back and retire here. And she never believed me. But it's too bad. She never had a chance to see that. But I always had a sense of wanting to come back. And when I was teaching, it was funny because in the staff room, we talk about, you know, what we want to do. And you know, when I met people, they would say, so where are you from? Or what, you know, and I'd always say, well, I'm from Sturgeon Falls. And other people would say, well, I'm from here now. This is my, you know, where I live, like where we were teaching. And for me, my hometown was always Sturgeon Falls, and they found that funny. Because hometown for my kids was Toronto, you know, but hometown for me was Sturgeon. So I knew I'd come back.
I guess it's kind of like a feeling of home. It's not necessarily...
I don't know. It's just that once I, you know, I come visit my parents, as soon as I'd head towards Toronto, I felt this anxiety. I felt this need to, you know, I just didn't feel like I fit in. I knew that eventually I'd come home.
So you go to Ottawa and you got a BA in teaching, you were saying?
No, I got a BA in psychology.
Oh, sorry. BA in psychology, but you learned teaching at Ottawa.
No, I had to go to Laurentian.
Son of a gun. I got terrible notes here. I got to be better at this.
So I got my BA there and I got my BA at Laurentian. Yeah.
Okay. So then you go to Laurentian. What brought you then to Toronto to teach?
Well, I was hired at that point. There was jobs everywhere except here. And I did want to get away. I won't say, you know, there was a point in time where I wanted to get away. I was young and I wanted to experience this was not the place for me at that time, and I knew that, and I wanted to get away. And it's funny, as soon as I got away, I felt like, oh, I want to come back. But but at that point, it didn't work out for us to come back. There was no employment here and everything. And then, you know, once you start a family and your kids get involved in sports and you develop that kind of your own close-knit friends and you get a job, it's hard to leave after, you know, you buy a house and... But, the opportunity came up, and I took it, and I came back.
How long were you there in Toronto?
27 years, I guess, 20-some years.
And you said you'd come back to retire. Was that what brought you – you said it was the death of your mom that brought you back. But
yeah.
Did you find work here, or did you decide that
– No, I'm retired. So I took early retirement from teaching. Basically, I after my mom died, it was very difficult. I don't know. I just went through this – I don't know what it was, maybe an awakening or I don't know. I felt that there was a need, you know, my father was alone and I also felt there was a need for me to come back. It was something that I needed to do. My mom had asked me when she died or before she died, she wanted me to take care of my father. And so that was part of my, also that need, but I just didn't fit where I was anymore. I felt very, I probably went through a depression, let's say, you know, it was very traumatic losing my mother, and I felt that I had to come home. And when I came home, it just felt good. I don't know what it is. I guess I feel her presence, you know, because she was born on King Street, and I live on King Street. And so I think that's kind of cool, you know. And people know her, and they'll come, oh, I remember your mom, and I hear all these stories. And it's heartwarming, you know. You feel like you belong.
I lost my father back in 2010, and I feel that because he was a big prominent figure in North Bay. He worked at Canadian Tire, and he called himself Dirty Harry.
Okay.
He did every job that nobody else wanted to do, and he worked at a warehouse. He worked at Canadian Tire, and when he passed away, I stayed with my mother for a long time because same idea. You want to be there, right? You both have a connection to this one person, and you can help each other. Not get over it, but grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you hear the stories all around. It kind of builds this presence. You summed it up perfectly. And that's actually what kept me around too. Of course, we're in West Nipissing, but it's a 20-minute drive from my hometown. And it helped me figure out who I am as a person. Do you think that this moment helped you grow into who you are today?
Well, very much. And it's kind of cool because I've learned things about my mom that I didn't know from other people's perspectives, you know. And the one thing that I kind of knew, but I didn't know to what extent, is my mom loved to volunteer. And she was in many organizations. And I found out that she was a very quiet person, but she was always willing to help. So, you know, it's things like that. But I've had like her chums, her friends who would, you know, message me on Facebook or they're part of our group in the sense of a member. And, you know, they tell me stories about her. And yeah, it makes you, you know, feel like you are in the right spot, in the right place.
So you started, you say you retired here. And mm-hmm. at this point, are your kids still at home? Have they branched out to their own lives, their own jobs?
So what happened is I retired in June, but that year my mom had passed. Basically, my son had sent an application to all over for policing, and he found out, I think, in April. And so that kind of helped because I knew he was coming to Sudbury. And then my youngest was still living with us, and so he just, he came with us. So basically my whole family was here now, so that was kind of very nice also.
So what, during your retirement, did you just relax? Did you focus on yourself, growing your family, or did you keep yourself busy when you returned?
Well, the first year that we moved here, we did a lot of renovations. So that was part of, I think, just adapting and trying to find out, you know, where I could fit in the community. And after that, you know, I think it was a year after, I think about the sequence of events of how things happened for me. I remember what the town used to look like as a little girl. And I found that the town looked neglected, looked dirty. And so I'm trying to remember how this all went. You know, I think it was after a gym class downtown. I took a broom. There was this bench, which they finally took it away this year. I was quite happy about that. It was this bench that everybody sat downtown on King Street, and it was always full of garbage underneath, and it drove me nuts. And we go for walks through at night, and I'd say, that bench drives me nuts. You know, it's like one day I'm going to come and I'm going to clean that bench. And I think that's how it started, and somebody took a picture of it, and it went on Facebook, and it kind of caused a stir, I guess. I guess I caused a bit of a, you know, what's she doing type of thing, and, you know, is she allowed to do that type of thing. First year was not a very good, that summer was not, you know,
a lot
change
of
is difficult. So, and then from there, I think, you know what, I'm going to do some weeding. And I remember I was at the Odeon or the fountain area, and I think that was the second thing that happened. And gradually what happened is I just picked little spots, and then one of my members that still is a member in my group approached me, and we started talking. He says, well, I'll help you. And so that was one. And then there were two, and then another came along who's still a member today. He says, well, I'll help you. So we're three. And then before I know it, we were four. And we were, instead of three musketeers, we're the four musketeers. There's people that, you know, we just started cleaning around. And that's basically, I think, what we did that first summer. And then what happened is we started to formalize the group. But even before that happened, before I moved here, it was funny because I was always on Facebook looking at what was happening in Sturgeon because I knew I was coming. And, you know, I remember even speaking to the mayor and telling her, you know, I'm retiring and I really want to make a difference. I want to come and do something and change things. I want to find my place. So the intent was there to come and do something. I wasn't too sure, but I knew I wanted to get involved. You know, I wanted to be part of.
And it just started by seeing something ugly and wanting to make it just a little prettier.
Yeah, and it was very innocent. To tell you the truth, I you know, there was no intent of, you know,
it wasn't, I'm going to make a Facebook group, I'm going to organize a petition.
No,
I'm going to, it's just.
I never thought it would amount to what we are today. It was very innocent. It was just something I wanted to, and I didn't know I was going to ruffle feathers. I just wanted to clean up. I just thought, this is my town, I'm just going to do it. But there was some
backlash. You
know? Well, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was cleaning at one point, this woman, she just started screaming at me like, why are you doing this? And I didn't, at that point, I guess I didn't feel that confident and I just didn't know what to answer her. And, you know, today I wouldn't know how to answer her, but today I probably wouldn't get that anymore, you know? And then I remember once when I was cleaning on the curbs, somebody had come by and they had taken the cigarette butts out of their ashtray and just dumped them right next to me. And that was the change. You know, it was the first year was hard. And then we went from awareness to education. And now it's more like a plan of action. So it takes time. But time, everybody has their own time to think it out. Some people just need more time. And that's the way it is sometimes, you know, it's the process.
It's a seed that you don't know what flower it is, right? When you put it in there, you got to some take a little more care. Some you can just leave alone. But mm-hmm. it just at some point, a flower is going to bloom. You just got to stay focused on it.
Yes.
So you said it takes time. Let's kind of break it down. So you've got your four musketeers at this point. You've done some sweeping and some weeding. Mm-hmm. What happened after that? So you formalized the group. And by that, do you just mean you...
Well, what happened is we decided, or I was told the best way to do this would be to start to go to council and to do a presentation and to give ourselves a name. And then from there, I'm not too sure. I don't remember how exactly everything went, but I started working with Lin Zuheim. That was something else that happened. The following year, Lin came back, and so we started planning what we wanted to be done. And then I kind of branched out. You know, I started... the lamppost before there was electrical, and so they had these canisters on them. And so I decided, well, let's add some colors. So we spray painted, Stuart and I spray painted those canisters. So from there, my father actually, I think, is the one who gave me the idea about this little town out west. I never can say it properly. It's Shemaya.
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
I can't say it. Anyways, he showed me pictures because they've been there, and people come off the highway. It's not like very well centrally located like we are. And they have these Greyhound bus that bring the tourists in, and basically every wall has murals, and they have, you know, statues, sculptures, and that's all the town is known for. And that's kind of cool. So from there, I went and I spoke to... you know, businesses and see if they'd be interested in getting murals. And so a job that I really enjoy, and I very much enjoy this, is finding an artist and matching it to the business and then getting together and creating a mural. So I have the artist create the mural and, you know, I make sure that everything goes right. I'm with that artist from the beginning to the end. And I think we're on our, pretty soon we'll have our eighth mural up. So next week, so...
So that means you've got seven right now. Is there
seven now? Yeah.
Is there one that kind of stands out? Like, oh, this is the one I'm insanely proud of. Maybe it was like behind the scenes of how it got together, or maybe it's just the final outcome was beautiful. If you think Sturgeon Falls Beautification Group mural, what's the first one that comes to your mind?
They're all special because it's hard for me to say that because everyone has a story, or every one I've made a special friendship out of. And from that friendship, I've met other friendships, and I've been able to find more artists from it. I think the hardest one, or the longest one, was the six-week one, was Mel's Glow, the one that's over here on Main. That took a lot of planning, a lot of planning and a lot of work, and it was, you know, in the heat. And so that was probably the hardest physically, but they're all special. I mean, the one that... McMichelle just did. That came from the one that was done that was actually the first mural. So she did the first mural at, which was Dino's, which is Candace's.
Oh, so it's kind of like a full circle.
It is kind of like a full circle. And I'm trying to remember how I met her. I think it was through Facebook. I'm not too sure. But I remember we met at Lorraine's and for coffee, and we started talking, and she says, you know, this is what I can do. What are your ideas? And so we decided on fish, different fish of West Nipissing to me, lake, water. That's
no,
one
that's
of
fair.
The, you know.
It's not too much of a stretch, no.
No. So, yeah, so that was the first time I met her, and we hit it off. We had a great time. You know, my goal is to make the experience something that they don't forget. You know, I want them to be happy, the artists. I think it's very important. And so we had an amazing time that she painted, and we've always kept contact. She's been all over the world. And so, you know, we always message each other, and that opportunity came back again. So that was kind of cool. But, you know, just every mural has a little story to it.
So let's kind of go through them then, in case people only knew about maybe two or three. So we talked about the blue herring, which is just on the side of the Tribune. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fish. Is that one still
fish,
up?
Yeah, the fish is at the marina. So the fish was part of the IPM, our display for our beautification group, which was on the highway going near the tourist information booth. So that was Hélène Chaillet. So we decided to recycle that. That was part of my presentation to council, that we take that and we recycle. So what Hélène did is she added background. We added a sign, and it was put up. It was put up beginning of June at the marina.
Okay, and What other ones are we missing?
There's one just over here on the karate shop. It's like a banner, and it was a young artist, Ashley Gannett, from portraits that she researched at the library. She did, it's different panoramic views of different buildings, so a fire hall, the hospital. I think that was my second mural.
And what was the third one?
The third one was the, I call it the library, but it's Mel's Glow. So that was the big one, the 6-week one. Yeah.
The hardest, quote unquote.
Hardest. Yeah, yeah.
What was number four?
The fish was number four, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Five is the one just, five is the flower. So a Leanne.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
The flower shop.
That big long one that's just on Maine, right?
Yes, it's on, it's on William.
William, you're right. McKean. Yes, you're right.
Yes. And then there was McMichelle, and then there's the floral one that we're still in the process of doing.
Saw a recent photo of that on your group's page. That's coming together really well.
Yeah, they're there actually this morning adding more detail to it. So it's going to pop out. Once they add the detail, it's going to be astounding.
Just so everyone knows, that's the one that's next to the blue herring. Like, yes. When you're driving by, you see flowers as well.
Yes, yes. That... You can't miss it. It's beautiful.
And are we? I think that brings us up to date, right, with our murals? Are we missing any? I don't think so.
No. And then there's another one that's going up either next week or the week after. And it's one by Hélène Chaillet also. It's a landscape portrait, and it's just absolutely captivating. It reminds me of Lake Nipissing. It's really, really beautiful.
So you've got this next one coming up. Do you have any other future goals for the group, any murals that you're wanting to plan, or are you just kind of going day by day and just saying, what can we do next?
We've had such a busy spring. It's unbelievable. I mean, for, a COVID situation, and the COVID actually, for most people, it hasn't been a blessing. But for my group, anyways, so many people are on social media that the membership has just, it's gone wild on the beautification Facebook group. So the other thing is with COVID, there was really an awareness towards littering and pollution. And so the one thing is that when we came back from our trip, we started picking up garbage. We posted that, and it just went from there. People were just, picking up garbage and posting it. So my plan was to do a community cleanup again this year, but we did it that way. So it ended up being really,
You didn't have to advertise at all.
I didn't have to. No, it just started with one and everybody and, just posting it. I kept telling, post pictures, let's keep it going. So yeah.
How does it feel to kind of have that influence to inspire people to want to pretty up their neighborhood?
It's great. I just see it as a natural thing to do. I guess I was taught, you just don't litter. You don't do that. Bring your stuff home or you find a garbage can. You just don't do that. And to me, it's not inspiring. I guess it's just, it's normal behavior. Do you know? I don't know.
It's second nature. Not that you're trying to do these things. It's just part of you.
Kind of. Yeah. It's just the way that I was brought up, I guess. You just don't do that. And I don't understand. It just seems to me it's normal. If you have an animal, a dog, that animal is going to have to go to the bathroom. So you make sure you bring your bags with you when you pick up. It's respect for yourself and it's respect for your community. What we do in our community is an investment for all. And this is how I see it. It's an investment not only for you and I, but for the community at large, I mean, if we beautify the community, more people will come from there. We'll have a better tax. There'll be a higher tax basis to pull from, more. And then from there, we can have better services. And that means, our houses will be worth more. We'll be happier, we'll have more. To me, it's just common sense, I guess.
So then, is that kind of what your members of the group do? They just kind of see a mess and clean it up? Or do you have more organization for the members? Because we've talked a lot of artists. You mm-hmm. get in contact with artists to create murals, but some members like myself can't draw.
Yes.
So what do other members do to help the beautification group beautify Sturgeon Falls?
Well, I mean, there's areas like our parks. So we will go in and we'll plant flowers, or as you've probably noticed downtown, all the hostas, they were planted by members of my group.
So do you do like a call to action?
I do. So I have Messenger. And so what I do is, so every Thursday at the moment, what usually happens is after a season in the fall, I invite all the members over to the house and we have a kind of like a get-together celebration. And so we decide what our plan is for the following year. And so we chit-chat and talk. And from there, that's what sets my goals for the following year. And so the pictures that I take during the year, I then put them type of in a presentation. And I go to council every year, and that's how my presentation is presented. So from there, usually what happens is in the spring, I'll start messaging the group and I'll say, this is what we decided we're going to do. How about on this day? There's always communication, basically. Every week, there's usually a communication of some sort of what we're going to do. So, you know, we'll clean out the fountain area. We'll do Jacques Cartier. We just this week on Monday, we did Minnehaha Bay. We did a big job there. All the beds in front of Twigs, we cut the shrubs. They had overgrown. There was like some that there were three stuck together. There was the flowers were all clumped in one area, so we transplanted them. We put soil in. We really did a good cleanup there. So this Thursday, we're doing Main Street. We're going to be cleaning in front here. And we're hoping to get the front also. There's still some hostas that we want to plant in front of John. So, you know, we get ideas and we discuss them. And if it's possible for us to do, we do it. You know, most of them are possible. And Lynn at the town also is very much helps me a lot with this. You know, if this is something that I can do or we can't do or how to go about it, because she knows everything about that.
It's good to have an inside person.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Is there ever a task that you or the group wanted to do that you just weren't allowed? Like you hit a wall and they just said no?
I'm sure there were, but nothing but comes to mind.
They're out of your mind because you're fine, I can't do that. I'll work on the next thing.
Yeah, typically, you know, if something is not possible this year, what happens is I keep it in mind and then I work on it so it happens the following year. I mean, we started small, and every year I'm trying to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and to hope that we get more members that come aboard, more volunteers, that is. We started really well. Our first cleaning, we were about 10. We're sitting at 12 for the next one, so that's a really good bunch of volunteers. And I have volunteers that show up maybe once or twice. I have certain volunteers who will do only, like, you know, certain things. Others will come just for planting of the hostas. It's just, there's a variety. I know who to ask or, you know, who wants to do what now. So we're very comfortable. It's very nice. It's a very nice group of, I consider them friends. You know, it's, we get together and it's not just cleaning. We, you know, we laugh, we kid each other. We make fools of ourselves sometimes. It's fun.
And how do people get involved? Do they just follow the group and they're automatically a part, or is there a little more process to it?
That is one way. A lot of it is word of mouth. I've had a lot of my members will say, well, you know, you should come and join us. Or somebody will post on Facebook, like, I'm looking for some volunteer hours. Or I seem to get a lot of messages like, you know, I have garbage here or you know, or sometimes it has nothing to do with me. Like, I'll have to say, well, you know, call a town or bylaw or whatever. So there is very much an awareness this year. It seems that I've received a lot of messages or phone calls. You know, I have this problem. What should I do? but yeah, I mean, I have had people knock at my door too.
Really?
Know? Yeah. Yeah. Say, you know, are you Gail Primo? Yes. And you're the one who does this? Yes. And so I'd like to help you. So it's wonderful. Yeah. Anyway, I don't mind.
It's the effort. Not so much follow the rules or paperwork or whatever, but somebody comes forward as long as they're wanting to be a part.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Yes. I do the paperwork. I do all that.
I do the boring stuff. Yeah. You do the fun stuff.
I deal with all that. But, you know, we also get a budget, and that budget also helps us with the materials, and it also helps us get things for the town, like some benches and the smoking receptacles. So that is also part of the budget. When I present to council, I do get a budget.
That council gives you the money?
Yes. So it's part of beautification. So let's make sure I'm clear here.
Absolutely.
I do not personally get the money. Okay.
Right.
This is volunteer. This is part of community services budget. So it's Lynn Zuheims who will get the budget. And from there, it's decided by council the amount that community we get as a budget. And I have to submit a budget, which is approved, and whatever is ordered, let's say soil, which, you know, for the hostas or paper bags or whatever, then that has to be approved. So, no, the murals are not typically, like this year, no municipal money, no taxpayers' money was used for the murals.
Right.
That's all either donated or anonymous donors or people giving back.
Oh, so that they're just kind of the passion projects.
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. But other things, you know, like garbage cans, I don't know if you noticed, but that's something that as our group has evolved, we've been able to order more garbage cans. Well, that came out of that budget. But that budget is, like I said, it's part of Community Service Lynn's budget.
You got to get permission before you use
any part
of it.
You know, I have to prove. I mean, like I said, I don't see the money. Mm-hmm. It's there and before, like when I present, I tell them what I'm going to do with the money. And that money is then given to that section. And then from there, we work together to decide, okay, so this is maybe, let's say we're going to buy these garbage cans, then that has to be approved. Yes, everything has to be approved.
That's funny because I did a topic earlier in my show this past week of going around and picking up litter. It's something my dad instilled in my sister and I. Every spring when the snow melts, we got to go around the neighborhood because people just toss it in a snowbank, right? So I brought that here to when I get to work, I just do a walk around the block. And I noticed that there was a brand new garbage can just right outside the station, which made that so much easier.
Yeah, they're beautiful, actually. And I love also the sticker on it. So
yeah. It's just a French kiss. It's just the added little mwah.
Yeah. Well, and it's true. Like, you know, if you want to encourage people to pick up and there's no garbage cans, then it's kind of hard to, you know, to encourage that because who wants to carry the your garbage all the way? So that was one of the things that we started the first couple of years. You know, we were able to, with a very small budget in the beginning, to order some garbage cans. So, and as, you know, we grow, well, then we can add more. And it's all for the betterment of the community. It's, you know, the lampposts, another, that was a proposal that I worked with Jared and Baker from the Chamber of Commerce, and we submitted that to the municipality. And, you know, the money was from a grant, a government grant towards a lamppost. So, you know, that was something that I'm very proud of because I had a part in that. So that's amazing.
So you get donations from, like, businesses and people coming in to help out?
Yes, I have members of the business community who will donate. Or if, let's say, there's something that's needed for a certain project, for the McMichelle mural, we needed a skyjack. So, you know, I knew that I could ask certain businesses to help me out. So whatever, depending on the project and what is needed, because it's such a close-knit community and most people know somebody who knows somebody, then I can go to the businesses and they're great. They're always willing to help. It's just definitely not an issue there, you know. And just to reiterate, I don't get the money, okay?
You really want to hammer that in?
Yeah. This is all volunteer, okay? What we get is friendship. We get to know one another, and we get to see the community grow. We see this investment in our community. So to me, that's very, very important.
So we're just about at time, but I had one last question for you. You talked about looking at old pictures of Sturgeon Falls and that kind of bringing this desire to beautify the area. Thinking back on that, what are some things you notice about old Sturgeon Falls that's different between new Sturgeon Falls?
Well, there was a variety of different stores before. We used to have a shoe store and clothes stores. The downtown was lively. I remember there was always things going on. We had banners all over. On King Street, there was awnings. It was quite different. People were even different. I mean, you know, it's changed. It doesn't mean that it's all bad. It's just that, you know, I think that we have to, as community members, you can't expect everybody to want to maybe come and do weeding or whatever it is. But if everybody can just, even when they walk, pick up one piece of garbage, or if they see somebody do something, you know, and they see somebody let their pet defecate, they should say something, you know. Do you know that we have a group that's really trying to keep our town clean? And do you mind, or could you, or, you know, if I go in and I give you a bag, can you pick up, please? Or, and the other thing is, we also have a bylaw officer. So if you see somebody, you know, in front of an establishment throwing the cigarette butts out, or if you see somebody doing illegal dumping, take a picture of the license plate and you can call OPP. That works also. I mean, there's various ways, but I think that as a community, we have to make this investment now. It's time that we invest in our community, and that, you know, we start saying enough is enough with we want to beautify our town. We want to beautify West Nipissing.
Well, I congratulate you for all that you've done. It's now that you've told me the story and all the things that have brought, and I have a brand new respect for you. So thank you so much for telling your story to me and everybody. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.